Good morning. How are you guys? It's April 18th. Never mind, April 19th. Friday morning. I hope you guys are off to a great middle of April. And I'm so thrilled to have today the owners of the first ever Wonderlust Yoga Studio down in brilliant Austin, Texas. Hey, Joe. Hey, Ashley.
Hey,
hi,
Anna.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Doing really well. So I'm going to start the show in a little bit of a different way, only because I'd love to get y'all's perspective on this, and maybe you can talk me down off the edge. But about 2 minutes before the show just now, I shattered a huge mirror. So obviously, you know, 7 years, bad luck, right? So, you know.
Yes.
And it's not like a little pocket mirror, you guys. It's like a big wall mirror, that I'm really bummed that I have to replace, A, and then B, it made me think about superstition. So of course I'm going to share, and we've got, you know, a fun hour to talk with you guys and share how we all know each other and what you guys are up to in Austin and what makes you glow. But I'd love to start the show a little bit different today about superstition. And are you guys superstitious? Because I'm really struggling with, like, I used to be superstitious, but I don't want to be superstitious right now because I'm screwed.
Well, Anna, I think about 10 years ago, maybe even longer, I shattered a gigantic mirror also. I mean, it was like, you know, the size of a person. I'm just writing yours is like that as well. And life has not been better, like, the past 10 years. So,
okay,
with
good,
that said,
good.
I would not freak yourself out. Yeah.
Well, and it's funny. I've never been somebody that's really superstitious per se, except when it's funny or, you know, I can remember, I don't know if you guys ever did this as a kid, but my sister would always be like, if this happens, then I'm going to have a great day. Like, making constraints, and then it really, like, gives away your power, right? It's like, if this
right.
doesn't happen, it means you're not going to have a good day. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So
yeah,
sort of really thinking
about
that.
I've never been one of those people. Like, I've never been one of those people where, like, you shouldn't step on the crack. You have to knock on wood. Mm-hmm. You just said this. Like, I don't know. I don't think that's how things go down.
Yeah, what about you, Ashley?
I don't know. I'd say I'm the opposite. I say one thing, and I'm like finding the nearest piece of wood and rubbing my entire body.
No, it's funny because I think I've always been superstitious, and it wasn't until I started really, like, changing my life around 5 years ago, actually, when I started practicing yoga and just, you know, really taking on my own power, that I stopped thinking about superstition, and I thought I stopped, like, really participating in it. So it hadn't really occurred to me, and then, you know, this huge mirror broke, and then I'm sitting there looking at it about to start the show thinking, like, wow, like, what am I going to choose in this moment? Like, which one, superstition or not? So, yeah, it's good to have two different perspectives, and it's really fun for me because I have not done a show with three people all together. So this is going to be really fun to get different perspectives. Yeah, so this is great.
One more thing on that.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you one more thing on the topic of mirrors. Just maybe a week ago, I watch HGTV constantly. And I was watching one of my home shows, and there's this guy that I love. I can't think of his name, but he remodeled.
What a home show?
It's called Bath Crashers. So he goes into, like, Home Depot. He finds people that are, like, chopping in the bath areas. And he's like, hey, I'll remodel your entire bathroom, but you have to, you know, you don't have any control of the design. I pick everything out. I'll do it in 3 days. So these people agree. They have this horrendous, hideous bathroom. So he's always taking mirrors and, like, chucking them into gigantic dumpsters, and he laughs his head off. He's like, I have, like, a million years of bad luck, and this guy is, like, such a great character and so much fun, but I just think it's funny that he purposely takes some years and, like, whips them over, like, balconies into huge dumpsters.
You know, and I would love to know that. Do you guys happen to know that? And I think I'm going to need to do some Googling, and I'm updating my website this week, and I'm going to need to post some stuff about this. But where do superstitions come from? Like, where did we come up with 7 years bad luck? Do y'all know?
I have no idea. It's crazy.
Who made that up?
Who made that up? Or 7 years bad sex? What asshole made that up? Sorry, I shouldn't curse, but I mean, really? Seriously, that's rude. Like, did some guy make that up so his wife was, you know, safer around the house? Like, what's going on there?
Oh, my God. Most likely.
Okay, homework assignment. Homework assignment for everybody is to find out, like, where these superstitions
came from. I know, now
I'm
curious.
Can we also find out who made up that you can't wear white before Memorial Day? Because that makes me insane.
Okay, I thought it was Easter.
No, it's Memorial Day, which is so late, and it gets so hot here so early.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
You can't wear
I've
white
been wearing
right now?
White jeans.
You're
I've been wearing white jeans all over
right.
town.
Me too.
You're not supposed to wear white jeans. You're not supposed to wear white dresses before Memorial Day.
Oh, my. I, like, bought white jeans, and that's all I wear.
That's all, yeah. You can't wear jeans in Texas after May, right? Like,
I know.
This is
we
our only
put it
shot.
Yeah.
I know. It's funny because, you know, having I was in New York for almost 12 years, and moving down to Texas, I was talking to Derek, my boyfriend, about, like, wearing white, and I was just like, oh, you know, these jeans are really great in the summer. And he was like, babe, you're not going to be wearing jeans in the summer. I was like, no, they're white. They're really cute with this top. And he's like, okay, listen, like, I don't think you get it. It's 115 degrees here. Like, you're not wearing jeans.
Yeah, no chance.
No jeans in the summer.
I think that rules are different depending on your climate. And also, I mean, I don't know. I did Kundalini yoga where you have to wear all white all year round. So I feel like that, like, scratches
totally.
All the rules, right? Although Kundalini There's yoga in exception. General scratches all the rules.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, I want to introduce you guys properly now that we've gotten this superstition conversation out of the way. In fact, if anybody listening right now knows where superstitions came from, I would love to hear from you. So let me give you the phone number to call in. So if you guys have any answers about where superstitions came from, let me give you the number. Hang on just a minute. The number is 718-664-9124. So if you guys know where superstitions came from, please call in and I'll have Anna pop you on the line and share with us because we'll be dying of curiosity. But in the meantime, so Ashley and Joe are the very, very proud mamas of Wanderlust Yoga Studio. You guys just had your one-year anniversary, right?
We did on Tuesday, April 16th. It's amazing.
I love it. Okay. So I didn't realize when we planned this show, because, you know, we had different dates and things weren't working, and you guys know how scheduling goes.
Right.
You know, to have it be today, you know, to really get to talk about what it's been like 1 year later. I'm so excited. So I found you guys. I've always loved Wanderlust festivals. And those of you that aren't familiar with Wanderlust festivals, Joe or Ashley, do you guys want to share with everybody what Wanderlust Festival is and where it started and kind of the history of it?
Right. So Wanderlust Festival, it's an amazing experience. If you have not done it and you are a lover of music, of outdoors, and just being in the most beautiful, magnificent places in the world and practicing yoga together. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, truly. We had been going since they started doing them, and it originated in Lake Tahoe in Squaw Valley, which is this adorable little village that the Olympics were held in 1950. I'm not sure the exact date, in the 50s, but it takes over the entire town. And so what it is they bring in yoga instructors from all over the world, all over the country, and it's kind of like a music festival where ACL, you know, you're choosing your lineup. During the day, you're right. choosing your yoga classes with your teachers and the styles, and then by night, they have music shows, and it's not just yoga music, you know, it's rock shows, it's Pretty Lights to Ziggy Marley to, you know, they just have a wide variety of musicians. So you kind of detox all day, do yoga outside with amazing people, the most beautiful environment. And then you can do organic wine tasting and organic food tastings. And then by night, it's somewhat of a party, but it's really fun because it's a nice balance. You know, it's like yoga balancing everything. But right. It truly is one of the most amazing experiences. And it changed both Joe and I's life you know, forever, obviously, for many reasons, but it was so inspiring to us that our dream was to bring the elements of the Wanderlust Festival and create a home for it, a permanent home here in Austin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what were the elements? Like, what was it for you that you were looking to embody in a physical space? Because I think it's so interesting to, I mean, because it's experiential, right? So there's Wanderlust in Colorado, there's Wanderlust in Vermont, there was Wanderlust a day in New York City. Like, they all look very, very different. So what are the characteristics that you were looking to embody in a physical presence?
I mean, I think, like, one of the biggest things is for Ashley and I, you know, I was living in Chicago. Ashley had moved back down to Austin. We were both teaching yoga, and music is just such a big part of our teaching and our classes. So it just made so much sense. You know, the festival just infuses all of our classes with live music and DJs and just amazing, just really interesting different things and different kinds of music. And I think that's, like, one of the main things that Ashley and I were so drawn to, because that's how we personally like to teach our classes, and we spend a lot of time making playlists and finding musicians and doing different things in our classes that, you know, incorporates music.
Right. So really it was about the music that first connected you guys to having the studio, it sounds like.
It was huge. And also, I mean, there's just a sense of community that comes together around the festivals. It's just very unique. You know, you're walking around, everyone's smiling, everyone's happy. You just feel good when you're there. And mm-hmm. we wanted to create a really welcoming, feel-good environment that is reachable to all levels, whether you've been doing yoga for 20 years or you're just starting yoga. And it can be a little bit intimidating at first, but we wanted to break down those barriers for people. We also wanted to make it a place to gather, not just for yoga. So we do community events. We've had nonprofit fundraisers. We've had fashion shows. We've had
DJ events.
All kinds of South by events.
Somewhere that people can come together and make it a second home away from their home, you know. So not just yoga. Yoga is our core business, but it's also so much more. We want to build a home for people to come and gather and meet at and spend time.
I think part of that, Ashley's saying is like the fact that it's just the festival shows you like such a wonderful balance of, you know, being serious and, you know, with your yoga practice and, but also, you know, having fun with it too. And I think that's kind of just our vibe. I think we have a really fun, uplifting studio. A lot of it's lighthearted and warm and, you know what I mean? I think we just wanted something that was going to be different than, you know, a regular yoga studio.
Yeah, well, I just want to, you know, share with you guys my experience of Wanderlust in hopes that everyone listening will get your booties to Austin if you're not already there and visit Wanderlust. So I was new, right? I was new to Austin. I moved there November 26th and had heard about all the different yoga studios. There was a great yoga scene in Austin for sure. And coming from New York, where there's also a great yoga scene, I was a little bit like, okay, like I can do this, is going to be okay. I'm not going to freak out. And keep in mind, everyone listening that doesn't do yoga 5 years ago, I would not get on the mat. You couldn't pay me $1 million to get on a yoga mat. So we can talk more about that and how we all came to the mat in a little bit. But I was, you know, I was practicing in Austin. I was not feeling connected, and I kept, like, trying different studios, and everybody that I met in town, and I'm a talker. I wouldn't have a radio show, right, if I weren't a talker. I'm talking to all these people, and they were all like, girl, you got to go to Wanderlust. Like, Wanderlust is your home where it's, like, serious but fun, lighthearted, physically challenging. If you want that, like, will just – it'll vibe with you. And sure enough, the minute I went there, I didn't even need to go into the classroom, and I knew, right? So what you guys have created really is that community. So I just want to congratulate you guys, because that's not easy to do.
Well, a lot of it, too, is people like you and the community that's coming to us. You know, like, without that, we would just be a space. And truly, like, Joe and I put our heart and soul into this, but every person that comes into that space creates Wanderlust community. It's not us. It's everyone. you know.
I know. Everyone thanks us so much for like, no, thank you guys. It's the people that are here that makes this place what it is. You know, I mean, it really is.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw it right back on you guys because like attracts like, and you two are the one that started it. So if it weren't for like who you are in the world, you wouldn't attract these awesome people that are coming. So I just really want you to get that that's a powerful place to be because you guys, like, not only are just like your students, right, who are also your teachers, but you like went out and like got the money and got the space and like put it out there to create community for others. That's the biggest gift that I can think of, right? It's so, sure, I mean, of course it's a business and I get all of that, but like it's also a really selfless act to put yourself out there and you guys are the vulnerable ones, you know, whether it's emotionally, financially, like, you know, changing your lives around, because I know that this isn't what you were doing, you know, a year ago, and your life looks very different, right?
Right. Well, thank you, Anna. That, I mean, it means a lot.
Yeah,
and there's,
thanks,
I mean,
Anna.
There's something like, there's nothing in the world like knowing that it might not be the biggest change, but by teaching people yoga and giving them a space to find their own practice, I just know how much it's transformed my life. It's changed me forever, and opening the doors so that other people can maybe find that for themselves is truly, it really is a gift. It is.
Mm. Yeah. So on that note, I'd love to, you know, find out from each of you, like, what your journey has been. Because, again, you know, I recognize that, I don't know who's listening right now. I hope people are listening. They usually are. But, you know, I always wonder, like, you know, the types of people that are listening. Are they people like us that are doing yoga every day? Like, or are they people, like, I definitely was somebody else. You know, I'm somebody that 5 years ago, I took 5 prescription medications. I had really, really high blood pressure. I never, ever went to yoga. In fact, I hated yoga and said that I would never do it, right? Because my sister was a hippie who lived in Portland. And so yoga for me was like armpit hair and patchouli. And I
yeah.
was not going to do that, right? Like that was what yoga looked like. And I'm like, hey, guess what? That's not me. So it took me a series of really actually pretty big breakdowns to finally get to the point where I was like, okay, fine. Like, if nothing else is working, like, maybe I'll try this yoga thing. And yoga for me was literally where I found God or source or universe or whatever you want to call it, whatever doesn't offend you or offends you. Like, quite honestly, I mean, it's whatever. But for me, I was really, like, anti-spirituality until yoga. So that's my personal story. And Joe, why don't you start us off with how you found yoga, and then Ash, I really want to hear from you as well.
Sure. I started doing Bikram yoga a really long time ago, like right after I graduated college. I moved to San Francisco. Of course, you know, there's a huge yoga community there. I got really into Bikram,
huge.
But I've also just been, you know, a really active person and, you know, run and work out and do all kinds of things. So that was just something I started doing, you know, a couple times a week for a long time, for years. And then
what was it that brought you to Bikram? Because that's, if we can go back real quick. So those of you guys that again, are not in the yoga world and are hopefully, you know, still listening and curious, Bikram is a series of 26 postures, and one's held for a minute and then the other one's held for 30 seconds, right? And
yeah.
It's an hour and a half. It's in a heated room, 110 degrees. Is that right? 105 degrees?
I think it's 104, I think it is.
104.
Okay. It's hot. It's hot.
It's real hot. And it's carpeted with mirrors, no music. Like, it's very specific, and it's copyrighted. So it would have to be called a Bikram studio. But how did you start with Bikram? Because that's one that, you know, I've gone back and forth on, and I'm just curious.
It was so long ago. I mean, this is, you know, 9 years ago. So I couldn't even tell you how I got in my first class, but I went to it and I liked it a lot. But I also still mm-hmm. continued to run and do other things that I was doing. We were in San Francisco, so we were hiking all the time on weekends and biking. And, you know, my husband and I am talking about Kyle. So we were doing all kinds of other things, but, you know, it was just something I was really drawn to and started going through a couple times a week, just in addition to what else I was doing. And I continued with that for years and years. And then my husband and I moved back to Chicago, and I started teaching elementary school, which, you know, I had wanted to do for a long time. I'd gone back to school at that point, gotten my master's, and the place that I landed my first teaching job was on the south side of Chicago. And, you know, I had continued. And by this point in time, I had started going to some vinyasa classes, and but, you know, it wasn't something that I was doing daily that was part of my everyday life. You know, it was just, it was something that I did and I enjoyed, but, you know, I was not like I am today. So
right.
I started teaching, and I was teaching on the south side of Chicago, and I'm talking, I don't know if you guys know about the south side of Chicago, but it's rough, like really rough. So I was in just a school that was crazy. My principal was, it was just really challenging. And at that point, I started getting really deep into my yoga practice, and I kind of stopped doing everything else I was doing because yoga was just, like, bringing me the calmness and just, I don't know, just making, it was, like, the happiness in my day, you know? It was the sunshine of my
right.
day. So, I mean, so were the kids, but there was just a lot of stresses that came along with the school. And, you know, the kids, of course, have so many family problems, and, you know, it was just very, it was just very stressful. So, I started practicing daily, and just, I don't know, I don't, I, it's weird. It's like I can't even explain what happened. But, and then things, then I got involved in a teacher training while I was still teaching elementary school. And then I started teaching yoga while I was still teaching elementary school. And after a while of doing both, I'm like, why am I teaching elementary school on the south side of Chicago? I'm a really bad, I mean, there was gang fights across the street, gun shootings. I'm like, why am I doing this when I could be teaching yoga and be so happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, it was a really difficult decision. I mean, I love teaching elementary school, and I mean, it's something I say, like, it's the one other thing I could do in my life and be happy. But I, you know, I just kind of started a transition, and here I am today.
Well, I think there are some steps that have been missed because I also am a yoga teacher, and I don't have a fabulous studio in downtown Austin, so we need to get to the heart of that. But I'd love to hear from Ashley first about
my little personal story about how
my
yoga practice or not.
But I love it because you're so nonchalant about it. You guys both are just, you know, extraordinarily humble about it. You're like, you know, and now, and here we are. And I'm like, wait a minute, you missed like a really big step. So we're definitely going to get to that. But just real quick, also, I want to explain for any non-yogis listening out there that, Joe, would you just elaborate a little bit about what vinyasa is? So I want today to be also, you know, educational because we have a mix of people listening. So what's vinyasa?
Absolutely. So vinyasa flow links breath with movement. So, you know, a typical vinyasa class that you would go to is not going to be, you're never going to go to a class that's the same. I mean, unless you're going to the same teacher and they teach the same sequence. But there's different sequences that teachers make up. And, you know, something that Ashley and I love to do is sequencing. So we sequence postures to flow with your breath as you move.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thanks. Okay, so Ashley, moving on to you, honey. How did you get started?
All right. Well, I had grown up, and my mom would always do yoga, like, in the bathroom or, like, late at night watching a late-night show or something whenever she could squeeze it in. And I know growing up, I'd always be like, what is she doing? It's so weird, you know? I didn't really get it. But she'd do all, like, the Kapalabhati breathing and all of that. It really freaked me out when I was younger. But
your mom was doing Kapalabhati in the bathroom. That would freak me out too.
No, she would like do it. She'd be like, what? Like, whenever she could squeeze in her yoga, because she had three kids and she was raising us all, and we were just hot messes, handfuls. So whenever she could squeeze it in, she would do yoga. So I was around it. I was introduced to it young, but I didn't necessarily connect to it young. So I went through high school, and I'd always, you know, played sports. I was really athletic. I was super inflexible. Like, I couldn't touch my shin, basically, literally, when I was forward fold. So,
wow.
To me, initially, like, yoga was super intimidating for many reasons. I went through some pretty hard, trying experiences when I was, you know, around 19, 20, and then I went through some pretty hard, tough times personally in my life. And it was that moment that I hit rock bottom that I found my mat. And I went to a yoga class. It was actually Yoga Works Out in California. And I remember just, like, sobbing on the mat for basically an hour. I didn't even know if I was doing any yoga. But it, for the first time, wasn't, like, sad cries. It was, I feel like I am on the right path and I'm meant to be here. And it was the most healing experience. And it became almost like an addiction. Like, I'd be like, I have to get to my yoga mat, because the postures, the flexibility, all of that kind of came with time. But my immediate connection to it, it's just funny, like a moment in life, and it was just what I needed. And it truly, I mean, honest to God, and not just being a yoga teacher and owning a studio, it changed my life, like, personally for me. So since then, it's obviously developed. I was inspired to do yoga teacher training. I didn't know where it would go. I was super nervous. I was like, there's no way I can teach yoga. You know, that feeling, it's just really intimidating and scary, thinking that you're going to teach people and tell them what to do and they're actually going to listen to you. Well, pay to listen to you, too. But going through trainings and just, I mean, it was my calling that I found, you know, and haven't looked back ever since. It's truly, I mean, it just changed my life in so many ways. So I'm super grateful that I stepped onto the mat. And for all of you that maybe, you know, have heard about yoga, you're intimidated, though, don't be, because getting through your first class, you realize, like, everyone's focused on themselves. It's all about you, and it can be not only physically healing, but very emotionally, mentally, spiritually healing as well.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. What I'm hearing from both of you guys is that, it was really your safe place, right? Like, when you went to your mat, you know, Joe, when you were teaching south side of Chicago, like, literally, you know, probably a safe place for you. And Ashley, same thing, that, like, you know, whatever you were working on, like, you almost were home when you got to the mat.
Totally. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like your little mat can create such a, like, I don't know. When you work through, like, I know it sounds cliche, but really, like, you learn a lot about yourself and you work through a lot of stuff going on. I mean, obviously, then it's, like, challenging and it's hard and you sweat, you know, and you're always working towards postures, and that element of it is absolutely amazing because it's physically demanding and challenging, but then also it's, you know, opening and all of that. But I think, too, if you find a connection to it, it can do something much deeper as well.
You know, I think that, you know, like, I think that for me, I mean, you know, when I started doing Bikram a long time ago, I think that it was more of a physical thing. It was super challenging for me, physically, which I liked, and then over time it changed into something else. And I think that, I mean, I feel like that's what I hear so many students say, so many friends and just people I know that have gone through teacher training, like, a lot of times it does start off as a physical thing, and then it just connects, you know, at some point, maybe sooner for others, but, you know, there's something that draws you to it and, you know, keeps you coming back, you know, and keeps you interested in, you know, I mean, I think that we all know because we practice yoga regularly, but I mean, for those people that don't, I mean, it can be a physical thing, but it is so much more, like, it really is.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to just jump on that topic before we get into the genesis of the studio and how you guys did that, because I really want, like, the show is really great for people that aren't in yoga, that people are, you know, are in yoga looking to be teachers, for teachers looking to be studio owners. Like, what I love about you guys is that there's really a nice, you know, chronology of events. So let's stay back in that, because, you know, I'd love to share a story, and I'd like to have you guys think about something that you can share with the group as well, of, like, a moment in a class. You know, I have a very specific moment where my physical practice became, like, an emotional, a mental, a spiritual practice, and I'll share that. So in my sharing of that, if you guys can be thinking about something for yourselves, and then we'll kind of round robin it. How does that sound?
That sounds perfect.
Okay, cool. So, you know, I came to yoga because I was in a really bad place. So, Ash, I recognized, you know, what you were saying, and that's how I found yoga. Like, I was just willing to try anything. And people said that it would help, and I was not in a great emotional space and just needing something. And it was actually where I connected, you know, with a higher power. So that was pretty automatic for me right away. And then the physicality of it, and like my body changed, and that was all great. But like I first found it, you know, maybe a different way than a lot of people. And it was in a class maybe 6 months into my yoga journey. It was with a teacher, Marco Rojas. He's in New York, and he's really amazing. If you guys have an opportunity to work with him, he's just phenomenal. When I was back in New York, I always make sure to take one of his classes. And I'm pretty controversial because he doesn't play music and he talks through the whole thing. It's like a therapy, you know, it's like therapy. And I was struggling with headstand, which I know a lot of people, you know, headstand is a really rough posture, but then once you get it, it's like riding a bicycle. And I just, every class would practically be sobbing because I just couldn't get it. And I was just trying, and it just wasn't happening. And so, you know, after class, I asked for him to take a look and tell me what I was doing that had me not go up in the pose. And I got up and everything looked good, and then your legs float up, right? Like, that's what's supposed to happen. Well, that's not what was happening. And he said, "Oh, I see. Your little voice is so loud." And I, you know, came down and I said, "Well, what do you mean my little voice?" And he said, "Your little voice that says you can't do it." And I mean, my heart is beating so fast even sharing that with everybody right now, because it's just really vulnerable to say that. But I just started sobbing. And I realized that that little voice that said I couldn't do it was running my whole entire life. Like, it was way bigger than a handstand. It was everywhere in my life. And in that moment, I did a handstand. Like, I just recognized the voice, put it aside, did a handstand, or a headstand, sorry.
That's amazing.
Wow, I love that.
And so it's just that, like, it was that awareness. Like, even with this show, I remember, you know, when I got offered by Anna to do the show, I was like, my automatic was, I can't do that. Like, it's there all the time. But because of that moment with that teacher on the mat, I now see it. And I'm like, oh, there I go. There goes my little voice. That's what I do. And I'm going to do it anyway. So
that's amazing.
What was the, and that's what yoga is for me. Like, it was the recognition of the things that I say in my head that I can just put aside and be like, oh, there you go again. Ha ha. Let's do it anyway. So what's something, you know, that's happened for you guys? I mean, I'm sure there are a million different things, but have y'all had a moment like that you can share with us that you're okay sharing with us?
I mean, it's certainly hard. It's certainly hard to follow up with that beautiful story and just
hold that.
But I think that I would just say overall, I mean, there's been obviously so many moments, and I think that, you know, for me, I would say that the most, like, moments I had were probably during my first, you know, 200-hour teacher training, and just the connection that I felt and built with the practice during that. But, you know, before that, just when I was teaching, I mean, I was running on fumes. I didn't have any books in my classroom, so every night we didn't have any kind of curriculum, so every night I was planning and reading and studying and just doing, I mean, you know, anything I could to, you know, help these kids. I taught second and third grade, and I was, you know, teaching second and third graders phonics and how to read. Most of them, you know, couldn't read at all, you know, when they came into second and third grade. So I Ashley will back me, or Ashley knows this. I mean, I'm not a person that needs a lot of sleep. I'm really not. Like, I'm, you know, function on not a lot of sleep and feel good, which is great. But, you know, I was staying up so super late and just had so much work to do every night with school, but I would still get up every morning and go to 6 a.m. class before I went and taught for the day. And just,
really?
You know, I mean, at the time I didn't think about it, but, like, looking back, I'm like, what the hell was I doing? Like, I was up until midnight getting lesson plans every night, and then I would get up at 5 and go to yoga every morning before I started my day. You know, it was that important to me and my sanity and my just everything, you know? So,
yeah, what was it that you were getting, especially with the morning practice? Because I really think that that's a big one. And if people could walk away from this call and be like, I'm going to go to 6 a.m. yoga, like, if I could do that, because that's not one that, you know, I'm so apt to do. Like, what was it that that had you get up? God, that was early. Like, I really still struggle around that one.
Well, you know, I think I wish that I did that every day now, and I don't always do it just because of different things going on. But I just, when I practice in the morning, I don't, something is, like, different about my day. It just is. Like, I'm just a happier, better, I'm just a happier, nicer person. Like, I just am.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just, in, you know, at that time when I was practicing every morning, but I do, like, you know, if someone said what's their favorite time, morning by far. But, like, at that time, I was so run down and exhausted, and I, you know, did study groups with kids every day after school, and I was just working so much that I didn't have any other option at that time. Like, that was my only time. If I didn't go then, by 7 o'clock, I could barely, like, I was exhausted. I had to sit down. You know what I mean? That was just kind of the only time that I could. But, I mean, obviously it was a choice to get up an extra hour early before I had my crazy day, you know? So I just, there's something about practicing in the morning and just, like, then making your way through your day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when I did my, so I did my teacher training at Kripalu. I've mentioned it before on the show, but Kripalu is a former ashram, and now it's a yoga teacher and Ayurvedic teaching center. It's about 40 years old up in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, but it's a one-month, you live there intensive. So we started our day every day with 6 a.m. sadhana. And we did it for 6 to 7:30 every single morning, and it was the best, most magical way to start the day, for sure.
Yes. And I'm doing a three-week intensive in Michigan with Johnny Kess, and I'm so excited because we part of the program 6 a.m. practice every single day, which is awesome. So I really look forward to that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a lot of friends train with him and then his brother as well, so I'll be interested. I haven't done any trainings with him, but I may want to talk to you offline about that afterwards.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. So, Ashley, what about you? What's kind of a moment that you had? It sounds like we came to the mat pretty similarly in, like, desperation. That would be the word that I would describe for me.
Right. Hold on.
So what about for you?
Well, just kind of linking those, that thing, I think, like, the moment of real transformation, because, like, you know, the first few years I was still, like, trying to, you know, just put the pieces back together, if you will, you know, and, like, figure out my life and, like, my path moving forward. I think I tended to hold on to a lot of stuff from the past, and I became a very, like, closed-off person, and, like, still now even, like, sharing stuff gives me horrible anxiety, but...
I know, it's funny because I'm like, what happened? I really want to know, and I want to respect that, like, you know, that you may not want to share that, but yeah.
Well, and, you know, so I, you know, you don't realize how much that you hold on to or how much that you look back or how much that you, you know, feel bad or whatnot, whatever it may be from your past. You really don't a lot of times until you, like, break it down, and for me that was through yoga practice, and I remember I was up in Chicago with Joe for a weekend. We were doing a training. This was, I mean, I've had a few moments that were pretty deep, but this was one of the most, like,
oh, yeah,
deep ones. Yeah, I'd had. And so one of the days was geared towards, you know, chakras and balancing. And, you know, I had done chakra work and studying and all of that stuff, but it was like a full day going from the root and then we hit the hips, you know, that area. And, you know, that's where you hold on, like, literally in the yogi tales, that's where you hold all of your emotions, your past, all of the shit that you don't want in your life, you, like, hold on to right there. And for me, obviously, I have, like, the tightest hips and hamstrings, everything in the world. So now it, like, makes sense. But, So we had gone through a day, and so we would all talk about it, and then we would do a yoga practice geared towards that, and then we would listen to, in Shavasana, to the sounds, you know? And I remember just, like, not being, I could not control the release, but it was also, like, one of the most intense emotional experiences I've had, I think, because I was actually feeling stuff that I had just pushed down for so long that I didn't want to come to terms with, come to grips. I had to face it on, and then my release was just, like, you know, huge tears, sobbing, couldn't breathe, almost embarrassing because the room is quiet except for, like, you know, Deepak Chopra, like, chanting something. I think it was Deepak, wasn't it? It wasn't Krishna.
No, it wasn't Krishna.
I think it was him. And, you know, just thought, like, can't breathe, sobbing. And then I just felt drained, like completely wiped, like there was nothing left in me, no emotion. It was the weirdest thing. So we would go back to Joe's place, and I took a shower, and I had, you know, those like feather trends or that came in for a while, those feathers.
Those feathers you put in your hair, they like braid in your hair.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, I got that, and literally it stayed in my head for probably like a year. I could not get it out. It was.
Oh my God, I would not see Ashley for like months, and I'd be like, this thing is still in your effing hair. Excuse my language. I'm like, you've got. I'm like, cut this out. I'm like, get that out of here.
That's hilarious. I love it.
Hanging on.
And then, so this is so funny. So I was in the shower, you know, and I felt like really peaceful and calm. Like I felt drained energetically just completely, but I think because I just had released so much. And I remember washing my hair, and then I get out and talking to Joe, and I'm brushing my hair, and I was like, oh my God, my feather's out. And for some reason, that moment was so symbolic of me, like, in my mind, I was like, oh my God, I just fully, like, I let go of so much. And then, like, the ship has been hanging on in my hair, the feather, the ship in my past, you know, it just, I felt so light, and I felt like that was just kind of symbolic of what had just happened. You know, I let go of so much, and from then on, it just taught me this life lesson that, you know, living each day, and I truly just trying not to look back, not attaching, and just being, I know it's cliche and cheesy, but, like, be here right now. It's all we have, you know. We can't control the past. We don't know what will happen in the future, but right now is it, you know. And so that was kind of my, like, life-changing metamorphosis, transformations for me, that moment.
Yeah, I love that. And that's really, like, you know, I hate that it's cliche and cheesy. You know, it really bums me out that we have to say that because
right.
It's so phenomenal, really, like, and rare, you know. We're such a culture that's just like going that we don't stop and literally smell the flowers, you know. And man, when we do, like, days shift. Like, you don't have fights where you would have had fights, or you don't, you know, resist things. It's just such an extraordinary thing to be able to be present, and that's really what all that yoga is. It's not like, can you touch your toes? It's just not that.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. So I love, like, you guys, you've come to yoga from very different places and gotten to the same path, right? So
right.
How did you guys get to, hey, we want to open a huge business and take on, like, because here's the thing that I really want you guys to get, you know, you, Joe and Ashley, and all of you guys listening. It's not just that they opened a yoga studio. You guys opened a yoga studio to represent a festival that people have a lot of opinions about and expect, like, certain things. So I'm just really aware that, like, what you went and did is extraordinary for reasons beyond just a yoga studio. Like, you really took on a big entity. And you know, like, no big deal. Like, it's and I'm just here to say, like,
well,
it's extraordinary what you guys did.
It was a big deal. I mean, I know
like,
you know, it's easy. You know, I think at this point, no, it's not easy. At this point, it's easier to kind of just say, oh, it just kind of happened. And, I mean, it did. Everything just it did work out the way it was supposed to, and it did just happen. You know, Ashley and I talked about for years opening a yoga studio, and then wheels just started turning and met with C3, and, you know, things just started happening with that as far as with the festival. As far as opening the studio, a year and a half ago, I mean, before, like, I moved here about 8 months before we opened, and I'd say about 6 months before we opened, I mean, Ash, you agree, it was like crazy chaos what was going on.
2 years before we opened, it was crazy chaos.
Well, no, but I mean, it got really crazy like six, eight months before we actually opened. I mean, when I moved here, we were, you know, moving full steam ahead.
Mm-hmm. So how did it start? So you guys have been friends for a long time, right?
Right. Yeah.
Talk me through, like, how that all happened, because I think it's really valuable. A, you guys are friends and business partners, so I really want people to hear, like, how that goes, how it's gone for you, some tips to keep you glowing in your friendship, you know, as you're starting a business together, I think it's really valuable. So what parts do you guys want to make sure to people have people know?
Well, there's, I mean, a few, like, with this endeavor, Joe and I have been so blessed to have amazing mentors. And, like, there's people that we've gone to, for example, like, my dad opened up his own business when he was out of college with three of his best friends, and they have been together for 45 plus years. They became a very successful business, and he has always said, like, you must, as far as a business standpoint, you must have mentors. And he's like, that's how he is a firm believer that small businesses, you know, are what make America what it is, you know, and he has been so supportive. And we've had many, like, through our families, they've just been so incredibly supportive. And so leading up to this, we were able to meet with him and Judy, his business partner, and they have given us so much guidance on how to do this. And they are the perfect example of how to stay friends, because 40-something plus years later, there they are, and they're still a business, they're still friends, you know. And for Joe and I, we talked about, like, your concern is everyone's like, why would you go into business with your best friend? Like, what are you thinking? But in my mind, it's like, why would you not? Because there's no one in the world that I would rather do this with than Joe. And, you know, I think that we respect each other so much, and we genuinely love each other, and we care about each other, that yes, there are times when it's challenging because you're not the same person, you know. You are always going to have somewhat of a different viewpoint, but if you love and care about each other, then, like, no matter what you go through, you listen to each other, you figure out how to find a solution, and at the end of the day, you still love each other and want to hang out, like, on the weekends. You know what I mean? So, I mean,
right.
It just says a lot, and I think that, like, going into business with a friend, like, you can look at it one of two ways, but I look at it as the most incredible gift, because now looking at Wanderlust, if I were to do this with anybody else, I couldn't imagine it. And I don't know if it would be successful, you know?
And, you know, I think that, you know, like, also it's, you know, people say, like Ash said, like, why would you go into business with your friend? Like, why would you do that? But we're so lucky. Yes, we don't agree on everything. Of course not. We have different ideas and different things, but we, you know, always find a compromise or a common ground that works for both of us. And we also, before we opened this business, we're family. Like, we trust each other with our lives. Like, it's so wonderful that we both can, like, lean on each other for friendship, for our business, and have that trust, and not, you know what I mean? Like, there's not a care in the world. Like, if I have to leave for a week tomorrow, like, I don't have to think about anything, because I know Ashley obviously has my back personally, has our business, and vice versa for her. Like, it's just so wonderful to have, like, that amazing trust. I mean, there's nothing that would ever break that between us, and it's just, to have that as a friendship is amazing, and then to also have that as a business partner is also amazing. I mean, you can't beat that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. You know, I mean, I think that people often say, like, never go into business with your friends, right? It's really important to understand your friendship before you go into business, right? It's not necessarily that going into business with a friend is a problem. It's just that you don't always know what your friendship is before you get started.
Right.
Would that be
right?
Would you guys agree with that?
Right.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it sounds like you guys, like, you knew, like, you're in this. I mean, I've had that conversation with my best friend where I'm like, you know, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'm here forever, period. So
right.
Just get used to it. You're not going to always like what I have to say. I'm always going to say it. And I love you. Like, that's it. But, you know, I think when you're at that place with somebody, then there's freedom to have a business and have it be great.
Right.
Right.
And, like, I feel like we made one of those, like, little kid packs. We, like, looked at each other, like, no matter what, like, we're going into business together, like, nothing can change this. Because, you know, we truly, like, are like sisters, even before we had opened. You know, we were so close. And just, like, knowing that, okay, it's not always going to be easy. Okay, we're not always going to see eye to eye. But knowing that before you go into it is also very important, because you hit those moments and then you're able to, you know, you're able to talk through things and then let go and move forward. And I think just having a relationship that I'm so blessed with Joe is, you know, it's the, I can't imagine doing it with anybody else, you know? So it's, super grateful for that.
And I think that
so,
it's like, go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say that I think that it's just, you're right. Like, I think that we have known since probably the first couple weeks after we met that we were going to be lifelong friends. And I think that going into this business, it's like we're going to be friends no matter what, no matter how pissed off we get at each other about business stuff. Like, we're always going to be best friends. And we're all in on this business, like, both of us. Like, there's no, you know what I mean? Like, there's no question about that at all. So, like, there's no question about our friendship, like, you know, no matter what happens. And there's no question about our business, you know? Like, we're going to do everything that we can to, you know, make this successful together. So mm-hmm. I think just, like, knowing those two things and just knowing those things in our hearts, like, there's, yeah.
Yeah, I really get that.
I feel like we should cheers and take a cool after that.
Wait,
you
I'm,
feel like what?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
You're like a little, be cheersing right now, about to shoot tequila. That was a great little speech, Joe.
Well, it's really nice. I mean, you know, things move so quickly, and like this week has gone by so fast, and our year anniversary came and went so quickly, and, you know, as much as we would have loved to plan something, we just weren't. Mm. Had so much crazy stuff going on, you know, at some point we'll have a party, but it just is so nice to even just talk about this right now, just since it has been our year anniversary this week, and just kind of, you know, just recognize everything that we have accomplished and where we are and just how lucky we are to be such wonderful friends and be such wonderful business partners as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think that you bring up a great point. You know, y'all are both married to, you know, men that you really love. And we talk about marriage a lot. And, you know, unfortunately, the divorce rate is high. But initially, when people get married, it is typically a lifelong commitment. And it's so interesting because what I'm hearing is that, like, you also married each other and married Wonderlust Yoga Studio, right? So,
right.
You know, I mean, and I think that we're a culture that's, like, really, like, pretty fickle, right? And we just, like, do something, and we're tired of it, and we don't feel like it anymore, so we don't do it anymore. And what I really respect about the both of you is that you're all in. Like, you're all in on the friendship. You're all in on the business. You're all in with your partners. Like, there's not a difference. And because of, like, your willingness to commit, like, really amazing things show up.
Well, thanks,
Hello?
Anna. I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, no, I'm just thinking. I mean, it's wonderful to hear. It's also wonderful to just take a minute and recognize and think about as well. You know, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a testament, and I want, you know, so the show, it always kind of ebbs and flows in these conversations, but, you know, it's about what makes you glow, and I know I could ask you guys that question, you could give me, like, you know, hip-hop or dancing or tequila or whatever, but what I'm really hearing in this conversation is that, like, what makes you glow is staying true to your commitments.
100%. Right.
You know, I mean, your commitment to your friendship, your commitment to your husband, your commitment to your family, like, your commitment to who you are in the world. And as a result, like, you've created this amazing space that holds the space for others to have that too. Like, that's just such a pay it forward business. That, like, those are the businesses that last.
Well, thank you so much, Anna. It's been, like, really amazing, and it's been really fun for us to be able to kind of revisit everything and, like, kind of get back to the roots of what brought us to yoga, why we're doing this together, and then just kind of to reflect on what we've created. So thank you so much for having us on here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I can't believe how fast this hour went by.
I know, but we've still got 5 minutes, don't we? Is my time wrong?
No.
Yeah. No, we still have a few more minutes, and I'm
okay.
Really hoping to give – some shameless plugging before we hang up because
we have
just an amazing deal right now for new students and
that's great.
Have,
please share.
Okay, So we have an amazing special for new students that live in Austin that are Austin locals. It's $35 for 30 days of yoga. So, you know, in those 30 days, what you're able to experience is a lot of different classes, a lot of different teachers, and just to be able to experience the community that we have at Wonderlust. And we just, it's, you know, we wanted to make, have this great, like, special to get new people in the door. And, you know, we want to bring yoga to everyone, of course, that we possibly can. And I just, I feel like if people give it a chance and, you know, give themselves time to check out the community and the space and just, you know, and just different teachers and people they connect with, I think that people will turn into yogis. I really do. And we also, I know that it's intimidating. Like, I totally get that. And I mean, I know that. I mean, I even can feel intimidated when I go into some crazy, you know, advanced classes sometimes. Like, I get the feeling. I don't think that we have that feeling at all. Of course, we have challenging classes and we, you know, have advanced practitioners, but we also have 3 yoga basics classes every week, which are just, like, such a fun. I subbed someone's yoga basics a couple weeks ago and had so much fun teaching it, and we had conversations, and I'm like, shout out if you have any questions. People shouted out in class, and we just kind of talked about, you know, what the deal with class was and went over some basic postures and breathing, and it was so much fun to teach. And I know that everyone had fun in class, and it's just, you know, we have classes like that. We have restorative classes, so if you're a runner and you're looking for, you know, you have crazy hips and hamstrings and you need to stretch out, we have wonderful classes to help you do that. And Ash, what am I forgetting here? Oh, one really fun thing that we offer that is new to Austin, and I, you know, it's pretty popular at the Vinyasa Yoga Studios in Chicago, but we teach yoga with weights, which is a really fun, upbeat class. You know, teachers play really fun music. Like, sometimes they'll come in with a full hip-hop playlist or a full alternative rock playlist, and you sweat a lot. You use light hand weights and move through basic yoga postures, and it's a butt kicker, and it's great. And also, you get that like crazy, like kind of amped up kind of workout feeling, but then you also get the calmness of yoga and the stretching and the breathing and the and it's a really wonderful, fun class to check out too. Anything I'm forgetting, Ash?
You touched on most of it, but we really do have the most incredible group of instructors, and not only are they the most talented that Joe and I have ever met, but they are some of the kindest and most wonderful people in the world. So come see them.
Well, that's what I want to say too. You know, as an outsider, like, I was brand new, didn't know anybody at Wonderlust. I didn't know you guys. I didn't know any other students. I went to a class by myself, and I went there and made my friends there. And, you know, if that's that's enough right there for me. I mean, and also, you know, amazing teachers, and especially being a teacher myself, when you know a lot, then you really have, like, a higher standard for a studio and for teachers. And I can definitely attest to that at your studio. But, like, when you walk in, it just feels good. People are friendly. People are smiling. People, you know, were talking to me in the bathroom, giving me their email addresses. Let's go grab coffee. Like, it's really friendly. Like, it really is a community. And, you guys also have rooftop yoga, which I think is phenomenal, especially for so many transplants in Austin that are used to San Francisco or Chicago or New York, where rooftop yoga is really big. That's an incredible offering that I really, you know, loved. I think, are you guys still doing that on Thursday at lunch?
It varies the days, but
it varies.
Absolutely amazing. Like, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then I need to make a plug for Blenders and Bowls. Acai bowls afterwards are kind of insane. They've got a really great cafe and boutique in the front of the house. And acai bowls are out of Brazil, and it's like this really great smoothie with granola and shredded coconut and all kinds of delicious berries and things like that. So that's another really fun thing to do.
They use a lot of local Austin products and organic, like natural fruit, and then local honey from Round Rock. And the acai berry, it's like a super fruit and high in antioxidants. So it's really great. and they're wonderful.
Yeah,
they're,
so you've got everything in Wonderlust. Well, you guys, thank you, thank you, thank you. Happy one-year anniversary. Everybody, check out Wonderlust at wonderlustlive.com. That's wonderlustlive.com. And check out a recording of the show if you want at youglownow.com. Bye. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Amy. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.